Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Amen. All right. So why don't you put your hands together as you welcome to this stage our sister, Sister Everett Ross. Amen.
Amen. My name is Sister Everett Ross, and I'm the captain of West Frankville Cell Group. As I said here, I was remembering Sister Eisen's testimony. She did testify 2 weeks ago about giving. Amen? Amen. And Pastor Leanne did quote the scripture also. When you give, you must give willingly, not grudgingly or of necessity. Amen. Last Thursday, myself and a fellow sister, we normally... Anyway, amen. We normally would gather the people in West Frankville and bring them to church. So in doing that, she asked me to buy a juice for her. And I was telling her that I don't have money for juice, and tonight I will be giving Mercy $20 offering. She was like, "That is all you have?" I said, "I have $1,000 and it's for work tomorrow." She said, "No, you should give it. Give it and God would bless you with more." But I didn't mind her. I just finished this conversation and we went on doing what we were doing. Anyway, we came to church and Reverend was preaching powerful as always. And he was telling us that he was invited to a church and he went and he preached and he asked for an offering, and the offering was $1 million. And for him to get us in his very own church, he probably have to keep a 3 days convention first. So he said that he's going to provoke us to give. Amen. And he started from 5,000, 4,000, 3, and then he reached a 1. I was like feeling conviction. I said, convicted. I said, "This is to me. I should give." And I went into my purse and I took out $1,000 and I gave it willingly, forgetting about everything. I went to work the next day, and first blessing, someone gave me $1,000 to buy lunch. Not that I look hungry or anything, but I did not. Neither did I beg, right? So give me, so you should buy lunch. I was like, thank you. But still, I didn't click the two together saying that, you know, this is God doing. Then the second blessing, one of my co-workers, she insisted on me following her to E-Next work, which is like two corners away from where I work. She said, "Come, please, please, I'll buy lunch for you." And she insisted, so I go. I follow her, and then we went into churches. She gave me $3,000 to buy something for us. $3,000. Amen. So I did. We ate, talk, and then I went back to work. Third miracle. And then my co-worker, he would normally come from time to time for me to assist him or whatever. I would just do it, you know, willingly. And then he came around and he hugged me. I was wondering why he's hugging me. And then he said, "I put something in your pocket." When I checked, it was a green Joe. I said, I said to myself, you know, this can only be God. And it all happened because I gave willingly. Amen. Amen? So my encouragement to you, the congregation, is to give. When Reverend Colin, this powerful man of God who I adore so much, amen, if he asks, you should give. And believe you me, you would be blessed by that. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, this morning, this afternoon, we give you praise, we give you glory. We pray that, Lord, you will speak to us, affect our lives by your awesome presence. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You should not come to church alone, isn't it? You should turn to the person sitting next to you and tell the person, you shouldn't come to church alone. What did they say? They smiled. Say, no, we don't want a smile. I want you to answer me. Tell the person, you should not come to church alone. What did they say? They smiled again. Give them a slap. You can't smile when I tack it to you serious things. You smiling. Yes, yeah, serious business. I was telling the first service people that a message is cooking in my heart about how being Guyanese affects church work. Amen.
Amen.
Did you know that your being yourself as a Guyanese affects the things of God? Did you know that? Did you know that? You wouldn't know because you wouldn't know that you don't know that you wouldn't know. That's why you should travel. If you never travel, you're a bush person. That's true. Because you don't know anything apart from your neighborhood. No matter how you look, if you don't travel, you see, your viewpoint is always from your point of view. And there are so many viewpoints to a particular something. And you need to gather more information about a particular something before you can really kind of make something out of something. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So when you look at things from, if you want to call it, a Georgetown point of view, you always make a mistake. Your Georgetown point of view is not a rich point of view of seeing things. Are you there? I say your Georgetown point of view may not. That's why it's very important to receive teaching. Teaching is very, very important. It's a very, very important aspect in a church to be taught. So this morning, so another message that is being cooked is your spiritual growth. Your spiritual growth. Is it? If you grow in the Lord, a lot of things will become easy in the church. It's because many of us don't grow. That is why a lot of things are difficult in the church. So number one, it is the way you are, the way you are brought up, the way you are used to doing things. That is what is killing what we are doing. Because when Christ comes into your life, all of those things are affected. Amen. Are you here this morning? I can't feel you. Yeah. And then you grow. Your growth naturally makes you develop and spiritually and you get nicer, you get sweeter, you get more powerful and nice. When you grow, Minga for tell you nothing. You know when you have a mature, when you're living with a mature person, you don't tell them you gotta sweep the yard, you gotta watch the wares. You don't talk to mature people like that. It's children you talk to like that. No, so it's not a truth attacking. Yeah. I stack truth. Yeah. So I'm going to help you understand things as we go along. Oh, yeah. The Bible says the natural man does not understand the things of the spirit. The natural man is your naturality, your where you are from. What you are used to. That's what kills a lot of things. That's why you don't even share testimony. That's why we don't talk a lot. When God does things for us, we don't even say it. Hey, go and see some places. People are fighting to give testimonies. It's fantastic. So, we're winding down on Lycos. Next week is the last Sunday for Lycos. And you'll be a good church member if after these 6 weeks, I get more than half of you to volunteer your time and your services to the church. Yeah? How many of us have the book? Can I see your book? If you have the book, let me see it. We didn't have a lot in stock. But yeah, the choristers look nicer. Phoebe, can you get a choristers rather? Man, don't take Brother Brian's. His own is not. The roses, yeah. If you can get a good shot. Charlene, lift it up. What's that? It's Black Book. Okay. The choristers make it nice. Maybe after church, they should hold it under the flowers and you take a picture of them or something. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Black boys who have never traveled before. I want to move to another chapter this morning. Okay. That chapter is, where are you, chapter? Chapter 17, page 80. Chapter 17 and page 80. The whole purpose of the message is that you'll be a volunteer. If you don't end up volunteering your services, your time, your money, and all of that, then something is wrong about how you hear things, how you understand things. Johanna, are you with me? Yeah. If I don't get 100 cell leaders, how many do we have in the crowd? Do you have our 30 yet? Have our 30? Yeah. We need 30 ushers. 30 ushers. We need 30 men, strong men as ushers. We need more Akwaba ladies. We need more instrumentalists. We need more cell leaders. We need more workers. If after these 6 weeks I cannot get you to be involved in something, I don't know what message you want me to preach again. Then I have to preach why you are a Guyanese. That one you wake up. Because I don't know what else. The book is there. You have it. I'm sure you're reading it. Chapter 17. The example setting ministry of volunteers. Remember all we're saying. All these 5 weeks. Is that God is interested in volunteers. God wants you to be able to manage yourself, manage your time in such a way that you will still have time for him and have time for his work, have time to visit somebody, have time to talk to somebody, have time to pray for somebody, have time to even preach to somebody. You should be able to have time. I mean, if nothing at all, your Sundays must be booked. Sunday is a day that if you are a worker of this church, let it be known unto you that if you are a member of this church, a worker of this church, Sunday there's no negotiations. When you are coming to church, you must bring pumps if you're a lady. You can bring your high Marriott Hotel heel shoes. No problem. After church, we go flat because after church, we're going into the neighborhoods and areas. We're going to visit people. We're going to talk to people. We are going and then we come back at 6 o'clock for a meeting with Reverend. Every Sunday. That is the culture here. That is the tradition here. That's it. We will not bend for anybody. We will not make any difference for nobody. That is the structure. That's the standard. If you reduce the standard, the church will become different. Every Tuesday after church, after service, I meet the workers also. That is standard. These are the only 2 days I'm expecting you to be around. After service. Sunday, full day. No, you are going, you go with your AC. You are going on the road and the AC will be blowing cold air on you. That's why some people like the mini buses that look nice. And that's why you can easily die quickly if you don't take care. You should look for the old ones that when it's coming, you will live longer. Yeah, old man, he played gospel. Doesn't play all them dance hall dirty music. You call it what? Broke off your knee and broke off your head and broke off your neck. all them things. Example setting ministry of volunteers. Let's go to the book of John. I want to show you a scripture there. Volunteers set examples. Examples. And the church is about examples, isn't it? If somebody sees you, insulting somebody, or like we say, abusing somebody, and you tell them, let's go to church, what do you think they will say? John chapter 13 and verse 13. They will say what? So church and church work is mostly, the Christian life is mostly about example setting. Are you with me? Ote Jordan, are you there? Jesus said, you call me master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Hey, when was the last time you washed somebody's feet? Even if the pastor say, wash my feet, you know, if he's a, just it. Bible says we must wash one another's feet. If it's not taking my feet and put it into the water, or taking your sister's feet and put it in the water, washing of feet was a sign of refreshing one another. In the culture of the Jews, if somebody comes to visit you, one of the things you do for them is that you give them water to wash their feet. That's why when the lady had this sweet perfume, what did she do? She broke it and poured it on Jesus' feet, and she washed their feet with the perfume and then rubbed it with her hair as a towel. It's a sign of, refreshment. I want to refresh you. You deserve this nice, sparkling manicure and pedicure. You don't have to pay. One day, one of my church members said, Reverend, anytime you want to do your nails and your knees and ankles and toes and everything, you can come to me for free. I said, what? Me like them things, ma? Me like them things? I'll feel like a girl, you know. I said, thank you, but I can't even imagine going somewhere for somebody to hold my toes. I'll feel like I've backslided, you know. I tell you. That's why I don't swim again. I hardly swim. I can't take off me clothes. No. And then I wear me pants. And you know what will happen when you wear pants? And when you get into the water, you know what happens when water go on you? Me wonder at time. Then you see some drawings and some art. How can a man of God? I didn't see Elijah going to swim. And wearing swimming pants. Swimming. And when you get out of the water, so when I see water, as if I don't know how to swim. Is that right? I'll shower, I feel nice. To come and put my leg on something, touch my nails, toes, scrub my toes. When I'm bathing, I'm going to scrub my own toes. I feel more comfortable like that. I don't know how you're able to do the things you do, you know. Some of you are too powerful. You go, some people, they do your face. I was at the barber the other day. He says, should he trim these things for me? I said, no. I said, I beg you. Because my daughter also suggested. Tina asked me if I don't want her to line it. I said, no. I like it bushy like that. It must be like a forest. I am satisfied with how God has made me. I'm not the people who scrub the thing, who
who grass cut, you cut the thing. I like it. Brush cut. Where's Fitz? Fitz, you can't come and I like meeting like that. That's me. That's who I am. You don't like what I'm talking about? Yeah. Massage. No. Why massage? When people say, oh, I need a massage. You need a massage? Are you concerned about somebody coming and then say, tick, tick, tick. It tickle you. Look. Look at how she say, I tickle she. Now, can you imagine this lady is lying on something and then you doing that to she and you ain't got no relationship with she? You make her. I don't want to talk big people business. That's me. And some people like that. So, I need a massage. Oh, yes. Good. Please. You can take people to the other side of the world, which we don't want to go. If I wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, very quickly. The Bible says that the former treatise have I written unto ye, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Jesus did certain things because he wanted them to serve as an example to the people who were watching and looking at him. Now, church and Christianity is all about example sets the setting. If you go to 1 Timothy, Paul lists the Pauline qualifications of a minister, of a deacon, of a bishop. And out of that, he says that the deacon, therefore, the bishop, therefore, must be of good. He said a bishop then must be blameless. Because if you are not blameless, your example setting is what is not good. He must be blameless. The husband of one wife. He can be a sweet man. No, if you're a sweet man, you're a player, or CD player, or whatever player. You can't be a man of God. Because why? It's not that if you're a sweet man, you can be a sweet man, or sour man, or salt man, whatever you want to, what type of man you want to be. But as somebody who is leading people, it's not a good example. He said, you must be vigilant, sober, of good behavior. If you're a minister and you don't have a good behavior, it's a bad example. You must be given to hospitality. You must be able to teach. He gives the qualifications. So when you are a worker in a church or when you are a volunteer, you are setting example. An example is all what is about in a church. Volunteers are an example of zeal. 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 If you go into 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 2. I'm finishing. The Bible says that, for I know the forwardness of your mind. The forwardness of your mind. It's a nice English word. Very big. Forwardness of your mind. Forwardness means you think even ahead. You think further. You are not someone who have to come and ginger, make your mind begin to work. Your mind is already prepared and moving along. It's like, you know what I'm talking about. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. Because when Paul goes to Macedonia, the way the people that Achaia was ready a year ago, the people from Achaia, what they do, when Paul goes to Macedonia, it's more difficult The Macedonians are a little difficult to handle, a little difficult to provoke, a little difficult to encourage and to be able to mobilize and provoke them to do some of the things he wanted them to do. But the church from Achaia, they were a better example. He says, Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Your zeal has provoked many. There's an example. The word zeal is from the word zealous. The Greek word is zealous. And the main word that from which we get zealous is zeo, which is Z-E-O. It means to be hot. It means to boil. So the word from which zeal is taken from is a word that means something that is heat, something that is boiling. So the church, if you are a volunteer in a church, you are setting an example of people who are hot. You are setting an example of people who are, the other word for zealous is jealousy as of a husband. You know how men are jealous? Some men, not me, not all men, but some. Can be jealous bad. Bad. I had a first meeting with the new cell leaders that I'm training Friday night, 10 p.m. I started by telling them about how they have to understand that this church they are part of is quite different, and that a Guyanese mind will not understand the things we do in this church. That to come to church from 10 p.m., somebody will wonder, what kind of church is that? And as I finished, I didn't even finish my statement. The one young lady said, when the taxi driver, when she was coming, and she said she was coming to Lighthouse, or she said what? It's not Lighthouse, something like that, she said. And then he told the girl that, you going to church at this time? You and the pastor must be there. Because which young lady comes to church at 10 p.m.? If the pastor is not meeting her secretly for something. That's the Guyanese mindset. Because when it comes to church work, there is no passion or zeal or jealousy like a husband will be jealous for his wife. There's nothing like that. How can I go to work? Everybody goes to work, 8 to whatever, Monday to Saturday. The only day I have is Sunday. Sunday, you want me to come to? Not I want you. You are so passionate. You are so hot. You are so boiling. You are so zealous that Sunday, you don't mind spending the whole of Sunday doing God's work. It's an example setting. That is, you see, when you do that, you are telling others that, hey, me, I have zeal. Monday to Saturday you work. If you have to spend Sunday doing the work of God, people might easily wonder, what's wrong with you? That's why people say all kinds of things about our church. Because the type of church they are used to, this is not a church like that. Of course. Of course. Of course. Even my little experience, the car I'm driving now, the car I used to drive, those who know me a little bit, you know I used to drive a blue car that I've loaned it to somebody now. It's on loan. I should say lease. I've leased it. You see, why you laugh? I'm preaching. To that person, I said, "You these days, the garage, you're trying to fight with me about the garage. The garage is my garage. So park outside. I park in the garage. Yeah, you are getting spoiled these days. Because like I can also. No! Basman got get a garage. Cha. You don't understand it. Go to heaven. Charlene, you are not smiling. Where's your bag? What was I talking about? Car. from driving that blue car, the headlight. I've had a car for many years. I have never had to change the bulb. The headlight. It has never gone bad since I bought the car. After the Japanese man used it for how long? I can't believe that the headlamp, Prince. I bought a car in 2009, I believe. For 7 years. The headlamp. I've never changed it before. But you do drive other cars and see. Almost every year you have to change the lamp about 2 times. There are different types of things. There are types of churches. The way I'm preaching, you can't have that preaching in another church because we are different people. I'm not reading from a book. Maybe you are used to going to a church and the pastor is reading. I don't read. I speak. I preach from my heart. Being led by the Spirit, I preach. Our style is very different. So you can't expect our church to be the same church that you used to go, or your mother used to go, or your auntie used to go. This church here, it's very different. We give ourselves to God. Give ourselves to God. Give ourselves to God. And somebody who goes to work and then spends time in the church to do God's work also is somebody who is setting an example of zeal. Is zealous. And we need zealousness. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how you grew up and where you are from and all of that and what you are used to. But let me state it categorically and let me make myself clear that many people are not ashamed of foolish things they do. Many people are not ashamed of foolish things they do. I tell you, how can you and me not proudly show that we are Christians and we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can we not do that? How can you not wear pumps, flat shoes, take your Bible and go to our boys' town and go and visit somebody who didn't come to church? How can you not go to Camberville and visit somebody who didn't come to church on a Sunday afternoon? Why can you not do that? Somebody must see that, hey, this person, this church, they are very zealous. You see, Guyana must feel lighthouse, you know. And they have felt that already. And they are still feeling it. And they will feel us more. As long as we have breath. One of the things they even will feel us is our signboards. I was talking to one of our ladies. She said she came into the country. She's a member of Lighthouse from Ghana. She said when she came into the country, she saw the Lighthouse billboard at the airport. He said, oh, I'm not a stranger after all. I know where to go. No, when you land in Guyana, you must know that we are here. Oh, you must feel us. Yeah, you must. And that signboard there is $500,000. What did Shawin say? Just in case you don't know. We are trying to put a signboard right after the Harbour Bridge. The Ministry of Public Infrastructure is telling us, oh, it's a very prime spot, so we have to pay every month. I said, brother, I don't see nobody put no signboard there. If it's prime spot, there shouldn't have been space there to put anything. We are not a profit organization, because I want to have a signboard right after you cross the Harbour Bridge to say Lighthouse Chapel International, Stewartville, Lighthouse Chapel International, Canal Number 2. Right after you see us, everybody crossing the bridge will know that we are around there. Yeah. No, we have to show and be proud of the brand we are carrying. The Jesus we have, the gospel we have. We must be zealous about it. We must show it. We must be crazy about it. We must fall in love with it. We must be strong. Zealousness. The Bible says, the zeal of the house of the Lord has eaten me up. The zeal of the house of the Lord has eaten me up. That's why we come here. We stay here all day. We stay here all night. I said, I'm training cell leaders. We came in here Friday evening at 10 p.m. Before we closed the meeting, it was 4 a.m. No, this is what, and many, some of my church members are offended and they refuse this kind of hard work. But you see, I don't blame you because it is not, you are not serving God from your heart. Yeah. If this Jesus thing has got under your skin, there's a song we used to sing. Jesus' love has gone under my skin. If this love for Jesus thing has gone into your bloodstream and is flowing inside you, like some of you will dance to music and whine and do all, like how the music is move you. If Jesus can move you that much, then you say with David, I will dwell in your house. I will dwell in your house forever. I'll dwell in your house forever. Zeal. The volunteer, the lay ministry is an example setting. It's an example of zeal. Passion. Fire. Boiling passion. That's what it is. We will never reduce the standard for you. Because God is everything. Yeah, he's the one who makes you sit down and look at me like you're looking at me. Yeah. We must be zealous about God. So if you like, that is why you should refuse a weekend work. Because of your jealousy for God. You say, how can you take me away from my love? No, you can't take me away from my love. That's what I'm saying. It's either there is nothing in your heart or you are posing as a Christian who you are not a Christian. You are posing as a Christian because let me tell you, when God met Paul on the road to Damascus, the Bible says just after 3 days of when he restored, he gained his sight, he went into the synagogues to preach. And the people were confused because they said, no, this guy is a trick. He was so zealous. I remember when Agabus prophesied that Paul, he put Paul's, they had this thing, they wrap around them as a belt, like how you have around your neck. They had something like that. Yeah. Paul had something like this. And then Agabus, he was a prophet, he took it. Wrap around him and he said, the person whose garment is this, the Lord is telling me that this person is going on a journey. Then there's a lot of trouble ahead of him. Even trouble unto death. And Paul said, it is mine. He said, I don't mind. If you have to die for Christ, I'll die. If you have to die for God, I'll die. It's like, you see, all these things were written for our examples. That you and I will also emulate and copy and imitate and be followers of these people who have served God with everything they had. Saul was so passionate about God that he never married. He doesn't have no heart, no love for somebody else. You're in the church looking for a husband, not God. You're in the church looking for a wife, not God. You are even disgraceful. You came here for a girlfriend. You are even more disgraceful. Ladies and gentlemen, let us be zealous. Ladies and gentlemen, let us be zealous. Let us be zealous for God. Let us be zealous for the King. Let us be zealous for Jesus. Let us be zealous for Christ Jesus, my Lord, who died on the cross for me. Let us be zealous for Him. It's a good thing to do. It's a good example to be known as somebody who the zeal of the house of the Lord has eaten. That you, when it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to church, when it comes to church work, you are number one. My time is up. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, somebody. Jesus. Fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray. As we sing, fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray. Fire fall down, fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray. Then cause I know that you're alive, you came to fill my broken life. I'm saved to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ. I know, cause I know, yes, I know that you're alive. You came to fill my broken life, and I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. Your holy name, Jesus Christ. Fire fall down, a fire fall down on us, we pray. Yes, as we sing, fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray.
Now you are here, you are not saved. I just want to pray for people who are saved already, but let's do the altar call first. We'll mix it up with a communion and then we'll be out of here. But you're here this afternoon, you're not saved, you're not born again. If you were to die right now, you don't know whether you will go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray for me. I sense in my heart the Lord is telling me that many have been provoked to do great things for the Lord. And I'll share something with you very quickly. So you're here, you're not saved. If you die right now, the question is, where would you go? Where would you go? Pastor, please. I'm not sure where I would go. I want to be sure. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand. I will pray with you. Pastor, I'm not sure where I would go if I were to die right now. If you are not sure, I want to pray with you. Just your right hand up high. Pastor, please pray for me. Your right hand. I want to pray with you. You must give your heart to Christ. You must give your heart, your life to Christ. Otherwise, when you die, you'll go to hell. Pastor, I don't want to go to hell when I die. Please pray with me. If you are here like that, your right hand. Your right hand. If you're here like that, just your right hand up high, and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. You are here. Just your right hand up high. So every eye closed. Please close every eye. Every eye closed. If there's nothing to look at, you must think about yourself. As I'm preaching, as I'm talking, you must think about you. Will I go to heaven when I die or not? You must think about yourself. You must want to go to a better place when you die. Please pray with me. God bless you. Your right hand up high. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. You want to join? Pastor, please pray with me. You lifted up your right hand. I want to ask you to please come. Come to me, sir. Come. I want to pray with you. Come. Clap for him as he comes. Come. Come, brother.
To the Father. Though your gift is more.
Come. Clap for him as he comes. Clap for them.
Broken heart, broken life.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you.
The power of
you want to join them? Come now. You want to join them? Just come now. It is never too late. Don't wait until you die and go to hell. Don't wait until you die and go to hell.
Don't wait. Don't wait until you die. Now is the day of salvation. Come to Jesus now. Come to Jesus now. Come to Jesus now.
Broken lives, He will take them all. The power of the Word, the power of His love, and everything was done so He would come.
Close your eyes with me. It takes a simple prayer, simple confession, and your life is changed forever. With your eyes closed, your head bowed, I want you to pray this prayer. Say these words after me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus rose again from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From today, I believe with all my heart that I'm born again, that I'm saved, that my name is written in the book of life. I believe that I'm a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.